2 Timothy. Last several weeks, I was walking through 2 Timothy, primarily through the lens of grace and truth. Through the lens of grace and truth. And we're going to begin what sounds like we're not going to stay there long. In 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, kind of indicative of the times that we live in. And it says this, but know this, verse 1, that in the last days perilous times will come. The word perilous there means harsh. Harsh times. It actually means savage, difficult, dangerous, painful, fierce, grievous, hard times. That's what it means. And that may not be good news. You're like, Pastor, the gospel's supposed to be good news. Yes, it is. And the good news is that even though you can go through those dangerous, perilous, harsh times, as April was talking about this morning, you know, God can bring you through those in such a way to shield you, in such a way to bless you, in such a way that it seems like it's so dark all around, but there can be a light in your heart. You know, on Wednesday nights, I've been talking about living faith and the heroes of faith that we follow after from Hebrews chapter 11. And those heroes of faith had a living faith that actually was the kind of faith that everyone took notice of. They took notice of. Well, sometimes when you're going through those difficult times, people can take notice of the fact that in those difficult times, you still have your head up high. In those difficult times, there is a strength that comes from God Almighty. In those difficult times, you know, it is those times that we find that our faith gets forged in fire, if you will. We become stronger. You know, the men, back in June when we went and we made knives, you know, we pounded steel and heated it. It was red hot. And then when we kept on pounding it and then we dipped it in water and we had that, it got refreshed. And then we pounded again, it got refreshed, and pounded again, and it got refreshed. That steel was getting stronger and stronger. It was getting forged. It was getting stronger in the middle of that fire. Verse 2 says, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Man, oh man, that is a picture of society that we live in. But the good news is this. The good news is this. Verse 13 says this. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the thing which you've learned and been assured of, knowing whom you have learned them. Now, what's really cool is right before all of that, he says in verse 9, I'm sorry, just before what we just read, it says, but they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all, as theirs also, speaking of Jonas and Jambres. I mentioned that when we were in earlier in this series, that Jonas and Jambres were the magicians in Pharaoh's court. Their folly was exposed by God's power. And so I love this. It says, but they'll progress no further. After he gives this terrible list of all these terrible things, he says, but they'll progress no further. There is an end to evil. There is an end to evil.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank God. There is an end to evil. And the enemy has an end coming to him. And we may be living in these days where we feel like it's harsh. Some of the people who are literally running for their lives that are in Afghanistan, not just Americans, but also Christians. Christians who are being persecuted for being Christians. Who are literally, people are looking at their phones wanting to see if there is a Bible app on it. I want you to know that God is still faithful. He is still Lord over all. And there will be an end to evil. And we live in this time, and God gives us an answer in how to live during this time. I love what it says here. It says, but you continue, verse 14, in the things which you've learned. So even when you are faced with difficult times, it says, you continue. Say continue.
Continue.
That's your first C today. Continue. We're going to give you a couple more C words that are going to help you through perilous times. You've got to continue, which you've learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. You learned them, and verse 15, and from childhood you have made known the what? The Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Verse 15 starts to give us a key to go through these perilous times that are mentioned in verse 1. It is to continue in the things you've learned. Well, where are you gonna pick them up from? You're gonna get them from the Holy Scriptures. This is where we get verse 16 from. And this one is a famous verse. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine. That means teaching. For doctrine, for reproof. Reproof means to make sure you're on the right page, that you're doing the right thing, right? For correction, for instruction in what? In righteousness. Verse 17, that the man or woman or young person of God, I've got some young people in here, that you would be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Hallelujah. God wants to equip you for every good work. The word there when it says fully equipped is actually, it's an accountant's term from ancient Greece, and it has to do with a fully supplied ship. A loaded down ship that you are fully equipped. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're loaded.
You're loaded.
You're loaded with the things of God. You see, where are you going to get them from? From the Word. The first thing that gets attacked in anybody trying to attack Christianity, they attack the Word of God. It's the first thing. We know that the communists, when they took over much of Europe and when they took over Russia, one of the things they did was they burned Bibles, prayer books, anything that had anything to do with God, that had the Scriptures in it. Right now, our brothers and sisters in Afghanistan that you need to be praying for, what's happening? They're looking for people of the book. Why is it important for you to hang on to the Word of God? Because the Word of God is going to make you wise. The Word of God is going to help thoroughly and fully equip you and cause you to be loaded. That could be a good confession of your mouth, that you would say, I'm loaded. I'm loaded with good things from God. I'm loaded with good things from God. I am loaded. I've got everything I need with the Word of God. And I love what verse 16 says. It says, all Scripture is given by inspiration. That word is it's a fancy Greek word, theopneustos. It means God breathed. It means the breath of God. The breath of God. Now, when I think about breath, the breath of God, I think about, I personally think about a balloon, right? The breath of God. And you think about that balloon. I mean, the breath of God breathing on these words. Breathing on them. The breath of God. Do you remember that the breath of God breathed into Adam? and caused him to live. We know that Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful." It's alive. The word of God, getting it working on the inside of you. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in what? In righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Every good work. God's got some good works for you to do, for me to do. Those good works are prepared for you and me to do. Ephesians chapter 2 says that they're prepared in advance for us to do. For we are His workmanship, created, created for good works. You see, we're not saved by good works. I can't earn my salvation from being good enough. That's not what this is about. But man, I'll tell you what, I'm saved unto good works, and God's good works are fun. They're exciting. I mean, they'll stand your hair on end when He starts to deal with you about doing things. When He tells you to step out. When you give Him just that little bit. When you say, you know, this is what I'm going to give you. And watch Him make much of it. When you give Him that little bit. When you give Him your loaves and fishes. When you give Him your stick. What's that in your hand, Moses? It's a stick. It's my staff. But now give it to Him. Now watch what He does. You see, that's the grace of God. We're looking at 2 Timothy through the lens of grace and truth. The lens of grace and truth says God's power is made available for every one of us. You see, God's word is meant for us. It's meant for us to learn and to grow. And I heard Sharita and I heard Miriam say that they feel like they're growing in the things of God. They're growing in hearing the voice of God. How are you led by the Spirit of God? To know where to go and what to do. To know where to go and what to do. That you learn to listen to that still small voice on the inside that leads you in the paths of righteousness. Chapter 4. It says, "I charge you, therefore," because of all of what He just said in chapter 1, 2, and 3, He says, "I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desire, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from truth." Away from truth. "And turn aside to fables." Turn aside to fables. But you, be watchful. Be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist and fulfill your ministry. Do the work of an evangelist. An evangelion. That is somebody who tells good news. You see, the gospel is not bad news to people. It's good news. I got good news. Jesus loves you. I've got good news. Jesus loves you. God's got a plan for your life. Jeremiah 29:11. "I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans not to harm you, but to prosper you, to give you a hope and a future." God's plans are good. His love for you endures. And so when we take on this message as ours, see, God's word is God speaking to you and me. When we hear the word of this saint, this apostle Paul, Saint Paul himself, and he is exhorting his son in the faith, Timothy. He's telling Timothy,
I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. He's saying, be ready. Be ready. Turn to your neighbor and say, be ready.
Be ready.
Now here's another C word, convince. Convince people. Convince. When we convince people, we are showing them that the God that we serve is alive. The God that we serve loves them. He's not mad at them. He's mad about them. He sent His only Son to die for them. When we get that in our heart, and then it comes out in our speech, it comes out in our actions, it comes out in our lifestyle, people know there is something different about you. I got to know what it is. I got to know what it is. There's something different that motivates you. There's an internal compass that makes you make decisions that are different than what the rest of the world is going into. Right now, it seems like everybody has found his own way. Everybody has his own religion, his own idea about God. Let's pick a little from Christianity. Let's pick a little from Buddhism. Let's pick a little from this. Let's pick a little from that. Oh, yeah, I actually know somebody who told me that their religion was Star Wars. Excuse me? I'm like, a fictitious story? And they said, yeah, I actually put it on my military application. Religion, Star Wars. I said, and they let you keep it? And they said, yeah. I was shocked. Absolutely shocked. And then, of course, if you Google it, you'll find out there are people who actually, it's a religion to them. Because every way is right in a man's own eyes. We've got to stick with truth. The anchor of our souls is to stick with the Word of God. The anchor to our souls is to stick with this Word so that we can be fully loaded, that we can actually convince others that the Word of God is real. He goes on to say in verse 6, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand." He knew that his time on the planet was getting ready to leave. He was getting ready to leave, and he was giving instructions to his son in the faith. This is how you need to carry on. This is how you need to carry on. And he's giving him specific instructions. And oh, by the way, you hear me say this because I think it's a vital point. I've been saying it for 25 plus years. It is said by most historians that Timothy was a teenager and he was a pastor of the largest church in the world. And he was a son in the faith of St. Paul. Paul had such confidence in this teenager that he could pastor a church of, most estimates say, 20, 30, maybe even 40,000 people in Ephesus. He had confidence in him. I want you to know that he is encouraging, he's pouring out his heart to him. And I love what it says. He says, "I have fought the good fight. I finished the race. I have what? I've kept the faith. Finally, there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but to also to all who have loved his appearing." Guess what? Are you going to love his appearing? Praise God. There's a crown for you. There is. Now, some people, they get upset when I talk about this. They say, well, it's not about my crown, my crown, my crown. Guess what? If you read the book of Revelation, yes, it's really cool that we're going to get crowns. But guess what? In the book of Revelation, it says they cast their crown before him because that's how worthy he is. So if I get a crown, the only reason why I want one is because I want to be able to cast it before his feet. Because anything good inside of me has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with Him. That is why the Apostle Paul could say, it's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives within me. Would it be that every one of us would have that in our lives? That every one of us would live with that kind of reckless abandon? You know, I think about those that are risking their lives right now to be Christians, to even have a cross in their home or to have a Bible somewhere. Yes. I'm reminded of during the Soviet era of the Soviet Union and the harsh communistic government that ran Russia at that time. Some of the stories that came out that pastors would meet in secret and they didn't have a full copy of the Bible for their congregation. But what they had was they might have a hand-scribed copy of Ephesians. They might have a hand-scribed copy, a hand-copied of 2 Timothy. And they would trade. They would say, I have 2 Timothy, what do you have? And they'd say, well, I have Ephesians. I'll trade you for a couple months. We'll meet back here. I need to teach my congregation this. Because the truths that are in the Word of God are so vital for us to learn. And if we are going to be what God called us to be, it is to help us to go back to what it says, that the Scripture was by inspiration of God, verse 16 of chapter 3. It's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that you would be thoroughly equipped. Turn your neck and say, you're loaded.
You're loaded.
Praise God. Praise God. This is good. And he says this, verse 9, be diligent to come to me quickly, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica, Crescens for Gresham, for Galatia, Titus for Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me in the ministry. He's talking about some of his personal relationships at this point in the book. At this point, you say, it's almost like he's airing their dirty laundry, but he's really not. I mean, he is labeling some of them, saying, hey, he did me wrong. In fact, verse 14, Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. He did me much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his works. Listen, we're going to have trouble in our lives. Jesus didn't say you're not going to have trouble. He didn't say that. He said in this world you will have trouble. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. See, our victory is in Him. Our victory is in Him, hanging on to the Word of God. I love this. Verse 17 of chapter 4. But the Lord stood with me, strengthened me, so the message might be preached fully through me, that all Gentiles might hear. Also, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord will deliver me from every evil work. Preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. You know, this letter is his instructions. It's his personal letter to Timothy, his son in the faith. I love that there's so much detail here. We can hear his heart, his fatherly heart. And then he goes on to say this. He says, greet Priscilla and Aquila, verse 19, and the household of Onesimus. Erastus stayed in Corinth, but Trophimus I left in Miletus sick. Do your utmost to come before winter. Eubulus greets you, as well as Prudence, Linus, Claudia, and all the brethren. The Lord Jesus Christ be with, the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Grace be with you. Amen. He ends with the grace of God. The grace of God is God's power, his passion, his ability, doing inside of you what you can't do yourself. Church family, as we embark upon a different era in our world, in our society,
and our country. It seems like the atmosphere has changed over the last 2 years. The atmosphere has changed. There's lots more tension. People are dealing with anxiety at record rates. It is our time to shine. It is our time to take heed the message of 2 Timothy, where even though he starts that entire book off, you know, he really talks about, you know, this is a tough time. These are the last days. He's talking to them at that time, the last days. And in reality, preachers have said it's the last days for a long time. They have. Jesus could not maybe come for another 100 years. I don't know when he's coming. All I know is this: we're closer today than we were yesterday. And, you know, and your encouragement here is that the righteousness of God is available to you. You and I can live this gospel out. We can be lights. We can take God's truth of grace, his power working in our lives, and we can take the truth of God's word at the same time. It's not one or the other. It's not just grace, and that's all it is, grace, grace, grace. And it's not just truth, 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 truth. You know, people don't need to be beat up when they come to church. They need to be lifted up when they hear that God wants to bring them out of whatever situation they're in. He wants to bring you out of anxiety. He wants you to bring you out of worry and fear and bad health. He wants to bring you out. God's good. He is good. You know, Oral Roberts used to be, and I went to his school, and back in the 1950s, the religious culture of the day, they didn't like some of the things he would say. But now they're common among most denominations. Most people that are Christians are not going to argue with you that God is a good God. We just sang it, didn't we? God is a good God, right? Do you know that when Oral Roberts stood on a platform and said, God's a good God and the devil's a bad devil, religious people attacked him for it and said, how dare he say that? Excuse me? Apparently they weren't reading the Bible. We need to read and understand that God is a good God.
Amen.
And John 10:10 tells us how good he is. And John 3:16 and 17 tells us how good he is. And Romans 10:9 and 10 tells us how good he is. God is good. And he wants good for you. Amen? Praise God. Let's stand right now. Let's pray. I wanted to bring you this word of 2 Timothy. We've literally gone through every verse in 2 Timothy the last several weeks. These next couple of weeks before September Fest, I want to talk about how to share your faith. And then right after, there's another series that's on my heart about, you know, keeping it real, the church, keeping it real. And that's going to be in the middle of September. September the 19th, the day after September Fest, is Back to Church Sunday. Back to Church Sunday. And it is a national campaign just encouraging people that if they took a break for the summer, get back in church. If they took a break for a couple of years, get back in church. And so September 19th is Back to Church Sunday. And I'd like us to pray for that as well. But let's pray right now. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, God, that it has the power to change us. Lord, it has the power to change our thinking, to help us to truly see with spiritual eyes that we have been fully equipped, loaded with all of your goodness. Father, that as we look through the lens of grace and truth, as we read the scriptures, that you are full of grace, you're full of power, and you're full of truth, and you give us the ability to live this gospel out. Thank you for it. Thank you, Father God, for every person that's listening this morning, that they would embrace all of your goodness, all of your goodness, and you'd help people to live according to your plan. In Jesus' name. Let's go ahead and be seated just for a moment. Praise God. I want to give you an opportunity, those of you that may not have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I do this every week, whether people are here in person or online watching. How do you become a Christian? How do you step into this role of faith and start living a life pleasing to God? It's not about church membership. It's not about a class and that you completed a class and somebody said, this is, you're okay. No, this is about, do you have a personal relationship with Christ? It's not about a church membership. You may never, ever come here. The church membership's not going to get you to heaven. It's whether or not, do you know Him, Jesus? Do you know Him? He will meet you right where you are. Love you. And you say, you don't know all the bad stuff I've done. I want to tell you, I don't know all the bad stuff you've done. You don't know all the bad stuff I've done. But Jesus loves you so much that He died for those sins, every single one of them. And He will help you live a different life. He'll forgive you and empower you. It's real simple. All you have to do is, the Bible tells us that we just need to believe in our heart that Jesus is the Son of God, died for our sins, and confess Him as our Lord and Savior. Believe that His death, burial, and resurrection paid the price for you. And if you want to do that, you just simply pray a simple prayer that I'm going to ask everybody to pray with me out loud, if you could, in this place. Let's just pray right now, a simple prayer. And if you're at home or you're watching, you can do this as well. Just say it like this. Say, Father God, I come to You in the name of Jesus. I thank You, Father, for sending Jesus to die for my sins. Thank You for raising Him from the dead. I receive His forgiveness of all my sins. I confess Jesus as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, we want to know about it. We want to be able to send you some things that will help you in your walk with God. We want to encourage you in your walk of faith. Also, we want to invite you every Wednesday night right here on Facebook Live. We do Foundations class. And we have been talking about the heroes of faith. We'll be finishing that up and then be doing some more awesome studies in the future this fall. We want to encourage you to be a part of that. Praise God. Grow. Get in a church that teaches the Bible. And if you live somewhere far away and you don't know where that would be, send us a message. We'll help you find a good church that would help you in your walk with God. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Well, again, thank you so much for joining us today. We're going to close with our closing verse. We always do this, Psalm 121, verse 7 and 8. So let's stand in for our sending out verse right now. It's, the Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Psalm 121, 7 and 8. God bless you. Amen.